And wasn't that nice to have our featured violinist with us today, Jessica Dixon. Thank you, Jessica. We thank each and every member of CFX for what they do each week. We come now to God's Word, and our scripture is from James, the 5th chapter. And I'm just going to read verses 13 through 16. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. How comfortable are you asking for prayer? If you're like me, it's something you kind of have to learn how to do. We're generally not used to asking something for ourselves. Doing something for others, yes. But I want to begin to talk about a need that every single one of us has. And that is, we need prayer for a variety of different kinds of things. Asking for prayer isn't about placing burdens on our friends. It's about letting them walk with us down a path we were never intended to walk alone. That's a good quote from Rene Swoop. And I'm going to say it again. Because when you have trouble asking for prayer, thinking that you're burdening someone else or you're intruding on someone else to ask for help, I want you to think of this. Asking for prayer isn't about putting burdens on friends. It's about letting them walk with us down a path we were never intended to walk alone. One of my favorite sayings about the Christian life is this: we don't have to do it alone. God gives us brothers and sisters to walk with us. And today we're talking about prayer. And so in our scripture, it says, when you're in need, call for the elders, call for the leaders of the church, call for persons to pray for you. So very important to know that this is an invitation from God. And Jesus himself said, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you. And here in James, it talks about how we do our life together as a community of faith is that whenever there is a need, that need is expressed and there is a call for prayer and people gather and they pray for the one in need. So don't feel that you're doing something that's imposing on anyone. You're actually following God's word. So very important. So I want to ask you now, who are your go-to people? Do you have persons right now in a little list somewhere? That yes, those are three people that I would go to right now for prayer. On the refrigerator door in our house are three names or persons that Polly can go to anytime. She feels that comfortable that these are three of her inner circle people that will pray for her. And in turn, she will pray for them. But I want to begin to ask you, who are your go-to people for prayer? Well, I want to tell you about an experience I had many, many years ago. And I probably told this story before, but I love this story. Many years ago, I was in a men's small group that met for breakfast on Friday mornings at Courtney's. You remember when there was a Courtney's out over there on Walnut Street. And we would gather, and each week we would share our prayer request, and we would pray for one another, and it was a good group. Really enjoyed it. But there was one particular time when I was hesitant to express a need for prayer. I was getting ready to have a colonoscopy, and the doctor had informed me and the nurses and everything that you're going to have someone to drive you there and also to take you home. And at that time, I was single, and I was just a little hesitant about asking people to give me a ride to the doctor's office and then sit there and then give me a ride home. That was my problem. But that particular day, I said, you know, fellas, I need to ask for prayer for this procedure coming up, and I need to ask for help. I need a ride to the doctor's office. Every hand went up. And so I said, well, John, I know that you don't have to go to work and you're available and it might be easier for you to do it. Would you do it? And he said he'd be glad to. So John showed up at my door very early in the morning because I had scheduled this for very early in the morning. I got in the car and I said, John, I just can't thank you enough for picking me up and for doing this today. And then I noticed he was going the wrong way. And I said, John, look, the way to the doctor's office, you know, little did I know, he drove right back to Courtney's, and every single member of my prayer group got in their car and followed us to the doctor's office. So that when I walked in, and I was the first person there, bright and early, I went up to the desk, and the lady said, and your name, please, sir? And I said, my name is William Green. I'm here for the colonoscopy. And who are all these other people with you? I said, well, they're members of my prayer group. And then when I was in the back, you know how they prep you, and you finally get that little medication that just, well, you're feeling fine, and you tell your greatest secret if somebody asks you. So this nurse came by and she said, you know, all these people in the waiting room said they were in your prayer group and they were praying for you. And I said, I know, I'm kind of a little bit embarrassed by that. All those guys out there. And she said, wait a minute, you are a pastor, aren't you? I said, yes, ma'am, I'm a pastor. She said, Reverend Green, you ought to know how fortunate you are to have people who love you enough to do something like this. This is special. Well, I told you I'd already had the truth serum and everything, and I started crying. I was crying, and I had this great big love for all these guys, you know. And so when my procedure was over with, and they said, okay, you know, you can go back, you know, into the waiting room, I was going to hug all of them and tell them I loved them. And I went back there, and they weren't there. Except for John Struss. And I said, John, where'd they go? And they said, they got hungry, and they went for breakfast. But it was okay, because I'll never forget what it meant to me to know that I could call on people who would be there for me. And as a pastor, sometimes that's very hard to do. But I have my persons that I can call at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'd like for you to think about who your go-to persons may be. So, you know, I'd like for you to think about that. And now, I want to share with you what's happening at our church. I mentioned earlier about the prayer ministry. We are going to grow our prayer ministry. What we did today is just one simple step in our prayer ministry. We've had prayer request cards before, but these are more up to date. And we're going to use them properly. And let me tell you a little bit about the prayer ministry at our church. There are people who serve on a prayer ministry team that meet every week to pray over every single request. Now, we know that some requests are confidential, and we keep them confidential when they are, and they can only be shared with the pastor. But when you fill out a prayer request with the appropriate information, it goes to some people who screen them, and those that need to go to the prayer ministry team for prayer will go there, others to a separate place for the pastors. But every single need is lifted up to the Lord. And we're going to follow up with that. The persons that request the prayer on behalf of someone else, we'll contact them if they'd like it, and we'll follow up with that particular need. Now, you also know that we print our prayer requests. Those that appear on the printed prayer requests, we have received the approval of the persons to do that, There are some that are not on the printed prayer list. And then we hold them there for about 3 weeks. And then we kind of rotate them off the printed prayer list. They go to another place that appears on the church website where you can always see the list of people. But we do have to, kind of change our printed prayer list that you see each week to accommodate the new people that go on it. And so what happens is that people are prayed for. We follow up with the prayer. We have a prayer ministry at our church that's going to grow because we're going to encourage every single small group, every single Sunday school class, every single pocket of community in this church to begin to do congregational care within their own community and to include a person who will coordinate some of those needs with our office staff. So you don't necessarily have to fill out a card. You can call the church. You can go online and fill it out online. There are many different ways to do that. In the days ahead, we're going to grow our prayer ministry because we'll have more prayer vigils. We'll have workshops on prayer. We will help people to learn how to pray. We will have different classes on prayer. Matter of fact, there's a class now on prayer being taught. It's called Centering Prayer. But we're going to grow our prayer ministry because this is the basis of congregational care. Now, we know there are so many other ways that we care for one another, but we start with prayer. So, I wanted to ask you, do you know who your go-to persons are? Learn to be comfortable asking for prayer. Now, we also need to pray for others. When we pray for others, we need to think about how that is an extension of our love and care for people. Just like Polly said, when we pray at home and we have a name of a person on a slip of paper and we place it into the heart of Christ, we are bringing people to Christ. We're bringing people to Christ for Him to bless, comfort, and heal. Prayer for others is all about bringing them to Christ who blesses, comforts, and heals. So however way you want to do that, that's the first thing I want to say about praying for others. It's an extension of our love and our care, and it's about bringing people to Christ. Now, when you pray for others, the most important thing to do is to listen to the expressed needs of that particular person. Praying for others involves that we have a relationship with people, that we're close to them, that we've established trust. But when it comes time to pray, we need to listen to persons to what their expressed needs are, to allow them to feel comfortable to share with us. So we need to build a relationship. And we don't just rush in and pray. And again, we're going to have classes on prayer, how to pray for persons. We're going to have all of that. But basically, it's as simple as this. It's about listening to people's expressed needs. And it's an important ministry at our church because God wants all His children cared for, and He chooses to have all His children cared for by the persons in His family, you and me, caring for one another. And so, sometimes people say, I don't know what to pray for. Well, as I said, you listen for the expressed needs, but here's something to keep in mind. There are things that we can pray for always with anybody because everybody needs to experience God's presence, God's peace, and God's healing power. So we can always pray for people to know God's love, to know God's mercy, forgiveness, to know God's grace. There's things we can always pray for when it comes to other people. And when you take the time to call that person's name and to request that, ask that God be real and present to them in their time of need. I can't say exactly what's going to happen, but I'm going to tell you this. People will be touched. And it will not be unusual for there to be a tear shed. Because people feel loved and cared for. And of course, as I said before, it's not about what we do. It's about what God is going to do. We simply bring people to God. You know, there's a story in the second chapter of Mark. And I love this story. Jesus is back home in Capernaum. He's at the house. Everybody's there because everybody wants to hear his teaching. There's no more room in the house. Matter of fact, you can't get through the front door. There are people in the front door. But there are four people who have this friend that they care about. Could have been somebody in their small group. And this person was a paralytic. And they knew that if they could get their friend to Jesus, that Jesus could place his hand on them and that he would be healed. But this paralytic couldn't get there. So these four friends who cared enough about the person in their small group placed their friend on a mat, and these four friends carried him to the house. And when they got to the house, they found out there's no room in the house. So let's just go home. We tried it. No. They loved this person so much, they went up on top of the roof. And they cut a hole through the roof. And then they properly lowered that friend of theirs down on the mat right in front of Jesus' feet. And Jesus said, well, look at that. Not exactly. But they brought their friend to Jesus. Whatever it took, they brought their friend to Jesus. Whatever it took, they carried their friend to Jesus, cut a hole in the roof of the house, lowered him down, and Jesus saw the faith of his friends. And he immediately said, son, your sins are forgiven. Take up your pallet and walk. And people said, wow, we never seen anything like this. Who are those persons that we want to place on the mat? Who are those persons that we want to place on that mat to bring to Jesus? These are important things for us to think about. Now, when it comes to prayer, prayer is to be our first response to needs that arise, whether it's in our life or the lives of others. Prayer should be our first response and not our last resort. But how many times have you heard someone say, well, we've done everything else, at least, at last, we can pray? Well, yeah, you can. But when you do that first, there's something special about that. Because, you know, that's not the only thing you can do, but that's your first response. So this coming week, I want you to think about when a need comes up in your life this week. And if one doesn't come up in your life, then call me. I want to find a person that just had a week like that. Okay, I just want to know about it. But when a need comes up in your life, I want you to think about who you might want to share it with. It could be with your spouse. It could be with somebody in your family, somebody in your Sunday school class, a special friend. But I want you to think about if a need comes up this week, I don't have to go it alone. I can ask someone else to pray with me. Now, you can share it with the church, and you already have by filling out the prayer request. But this coming week, I want you actually to do something. I want you to have prayer as the first response to something that you need. And I want you to ask for someone to pray for you. Second thing I'd like for you to do this week in response to this message is to let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you. You heard Brent talking about this, about how sometimes a person's name comes to mind or face comes to mind. And somehow or another, we're just thinking about them and, well, you don't know what's going on in their life, but lots of times you'll follow up and you'll say, hey, I was just thinking about you. Could you tell what's going on? Well, I got to tell this story about Robert Reichel. You know, he just now woke up. That's a good thing to do. Several years ago, I had a program called 100 Men of Influence. I was looking for 100 men who wanted to make a difference. So I was thinking, okay, I'm going to meet with these guys, and I'm going to sit down and just talk with them about three things, about how they could develop their devotional life, get connected with other men in small groups, and discover their gifts for ministry. And if they wanted to take a six-week journey with me just to do those three things. So I was making up a list, and I was thinking, well, a criterion to use is just think about those people who are potential leaders. And where do you look for potential leaders? Well, you look for places where people are already serving, already doing something, but you kind of feel like they could do more than that. They're so gifted. So I was thinking about this fella. We go to the same hairstylist. And he was an usher. And I thought, I don't really know his name, but I looked him up in the directory. It was Robert Reichel. Says, I'm going to call Robert Reichel and invite him to a breakfast and talk with him about becoming one of the 100 men of influence. Now, little did I know that when I called him, he had just been through serious surgery. And he was in pain. And Robert said, how did you know to call me today? I said, Robert, I didn't know anything. I was just looking for 100 men of influence. And we prayed. And Robert Reichel did become one of our 100 men of influence. And ever since those 6 weeks, I've seen him grow and do things that have blessed the lives of others. This coming week, let the Holy Spirit lead and guide you for who to pray for. And if you're led to pray for someone, you might want to just say, hey, you know, I was just thinking of you. Is there anything in your life that you could share with me I could pray with you about this week? And just let them tell you. But I want you to think about some person, maybe in your Sunday school class or your small group, your family. But I want you to think, this coming week, lead and guide me, O Lord, to someone I can pray for. Those two things this week. Now, you're invited to this table, the Lord's table. We don't sit down and eat around it, but we refer to it as a table, and we know that Jesus and the disciples sat down and ate around the table. But I'm going to refer to it as a table, and I want you to imagine that we're gathered around the table today. When you come to this table today, I want you to bring your need. I want you to be able to state the need you have today and give it to the Lord. And you can put your prayer request in the basket if that's it. If not, just come to receive the body and blood of Christ and to state your need. I come. It's not the deacon, it's not the preacher, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not my sister, not my brother, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. You ought to be able to come down here and to be man or woman enough to say that you have a need that you know you can't meet on your own strength. And say, it's me. So you come down here, you gather at this table, and you bring your need. And then when you sit down, well, we're going to be seated back here. But imagine for a while we're all seated at a table. Here's what I do sometimes during communion. I pray for every person that I see walk up to receive it. So I want you to think about we're all seated around the table. And you brought your need, but there are other people bringing their needs. And so you go around the table and you're looking at some people you know, some you don't know, but you just look at them and you say, Lord, bless them. Lord, bless them. Lord, bless them. So I want you to look around the table today. I want you to see the people who come forward, come to the table, and then go back to their seat. And I want you to just lift them up in prayer. I want you to pray for every other person in here today that gathers at this table. Before we gather at the table, we are a people of prayer, and we confess our sins. Let's turn to our prayer of confession. Let's turn to our invitation for prayer, first of all. Come to the Lord's table, all you who love Him. Come to the Lord's table, confess your sin. Come to the Lord's table, be at peace. We have not believed you or trusted in your power. Lord, help our unbelief. We have stained our souls by our action and our inaction. Cleanse us, Lord. We are broken by disease, bruised by the sins of others, weakened and unable to repair ourselves. Heal us, Lord. We ignore your call to center our lives in you, and so are deaf to the hopes and cries of the poor, the sick, the needy, and all the earth. Ground us, Lord. When we confess our sinful ways, God abundantly pardons. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are all forgiven. Glory to God. The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to you, Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to praise you, O God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Holy Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. From the rising of the sun to its setting, your name is praised among all peoples. Therefore, we praise you, joining your voices with your people on earth and all the company of heaven who forever sing this hymn to the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You are holy, Almighty One. Blessed are you, Jesus Christ. In the power of the Spirit, you created all things, blessed them, and called them good. You called to yourself a people to make your mercy and truth known in all the world. We betrayed your calling. You were faithful. We wandered from the way. You called us to return and led us home. And still we turned from your ways, abused your creatures, and made ourselves slaves to sin and death. At the right time, you came and dwelled among us as one of us, bringing good news to the poor, healing the sick, raising the dead, sharing table with the unrighteous, and teaching the way that leads to life. By your incarnation, life, suffering, execution, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery, made a new covenant with us by water and the Spirit, and receive us and your saints and receive us and all your saints to yourself in glory everlasting. On the night of your betrayal, Lord Jesus, you took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to your disciples and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You did the same with the cup after the supper, saying, "This cup that is poured out is the new covenant in my blood." Blessed Trinity, in remembrance of all you have done to save us, we offer ourselves to you in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has come among us. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ abides with us. Christ will come again. Pour out your Spirit on us. Pour out your Spirit on us. Pour out your Spirit on these gifts. Pour out your Spirit on these gifts. Make these gifts the body and blood of Christ. Make us, through them, Christ's body alive in the world. Abba, Father, let your kingdom come. Glory to you. Glory to you. Come, Lord Jesus, be our daily bread. Glory to you. Glory to you. Holy Spirit, send us to the world. Glory to you. Glory to you. Holy, blessed Trinity, one God forever. Glory to you. Glory to you. Let us join now in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite those who will be helping to serve communion, for those in CFX and those behind the scenes working as tech persons, to come forth to receive communion first. And as they come, let me remind you that all are invited. We do have a gluten-free station, and that will be with Polly and myself.